Translation, the great sage Atri prayed for offspring, and the Lord, being satisfied with him, promised to incarnate as Atri's son, Dattatreya, Datta, the son of Atri. And by the grace of the lotus feet of the Lord, many Yadus, Haihayas, etc., became so purified that they both attained both material and spiritual blessings. So I'll read the purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Transcendental relations between the personality of Godhead and the living entities are eternally established in five different affectionate humors, which are known as Santa, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. The sage Atri was related with the Lord in the affectionate Vatsalya humor, and therefore, as a result of his devotional perfection, he was inclined to have the personality of Godhead as his son. The Lord accepted his prayer and gave himself as the son of Atri. Such a relation of sonhood between the Lord and his pure devotees can be cited in many instances. And because the Lord is unlimited, he has unlimited number of father devotees. Factually, the Lord is father of all living entities. But out of transcendental affection and love between the Lord and his father, the father actually, transcendental affection between the Lord and his devotees, the Lord takes more pleasure in becoming the son of a devotee than in becoming one's father. The father actually serves the son, whereas the son only demands all sorts of services from the father. Therefore, a pure devotee is always inclined to serve the Lord, wants him as a son and not as a father. The Lord also accepts such service from the devotee, and thus the devotee becomes more than the Lord. The impersonalist desire to become one with the Supreme, but the devotee becomes more than the Lord, surpassing the desire of the greatest monists. Parents and other relatives of the Lord achieve all mystic opulences automatically because of their intimate relationship with the Lord. Such opulences include all details of material enjoyment, salvation, and mystical powers. Therefore, the devotee of the Lord does not seek them separately, wasting his valuable time in life. The valuable time of one's life must therefore be fully engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Then other desirable achievements are automatically gained. But even after obtaining such achievements, one should be on guard against the pitfall of offenses at the feet of the devotees. The vivid example is the Haihaya, who achieved all such perfection in devotional service, but because of his offense at the feet of the devotee, was killed by Lord Parashuram. The Lord became the son of the great sage Atri and became known as Dattatreya. Om Agyana Timirandashya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasme Shri Guruve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manupistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kathamayam Dadati Swapadantakam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Saganaraganatam Tam Sajivam Antvetam Sarvabhutanam Parijan Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. He Krishna. Sorry. Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Vakancha Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishavanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priya Pancha Kalpa Thirupischa Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Shikadar Shvaskuru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Om Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna, dear devotees, and again, a very good morning to you all. I sincerely seek your blessings and ask in advance to excuse me for any mistakes or errors that I make, because I'm full of faults, but somehow or another, to the mercy of the devotees, somehow I'm sitting here, so I will try to be an instrument of what the Lord and Srila Prabhupada are trying to communicate to us. So, just reading the translation again, I'd like you to just pay attention to what Srila Prabhupada has just said in the purport and how that matches up with the translation, okay? The great sage Atri prayed for offspring, and the Lord, being satisfied with him, promised to incarnate as Atri's son, Dattatreya, Datta, the son of Atri. And by the grace of the lotus feet of the Lord, many Yadus and Haihayas, etc., became so purified that they obtained both material and spiritual blessings. So the summary of what we've just read by Srila Prabhupada is that all living entities have a transcendental, loving, affectionate relationship with the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada calls it affectionate humours. And they're eternally established. That can never go away. And of course there are five main, but there's seven others. And the five main are Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. Now, what is Srila Prabhupada mentioned humour? We'll explore that in a little bit. The sage Atri was related to the Lord in the Vatsalya humor, and due to his devotional perfection, he was inclined to have the Supreme Lord as his son. Now, the Lord accepted Atri's prayers and gives himself as Atri's son, and we'll kind of unpick that a little bit as well in a little while. And out of transcendental affection, the Lord becomes Atri's child, and therefore, as Srila Prabhupada says, that the devotee becomes even more than the Lord himself. Whilst the Lord is actually everyone's father, in transcendental loving affection, the Lord is inclined to offer himself to service to his devotees. Parents and other relatives of the Lord, it says here, and we're all related to the Lord. Remember, he's our Jagat Guru, Jagat Father, that we can all achieve mystical opulence and material well-being automatically related to the Lord. But, of course, the devotee doesn't look for that. And one shouldn't actually look for mystical powers, material enjoyment or salvation separately from the Lord. So that's a key point that we've read in the purport. However, even after achieving these opulences, Srila Prabhupada warns us and guards us, says that, he guards us that we must, against the pitfalls of offenses at the lotus feet of the devotees. We often hear this, you know, the offenses at the lotus feet of devotees. But in a little while, we'll explore what that really means in some of the stories that I'll give you with the Haihayas and the Yadu dynasty. So humor is actually a really important part of relations, interpersonal relations for bonding, fun, and joy. And the humor in the Vatsalya Ras is that whilst, one of the examples we get of humor in the Vatsalya Ras is that Lord Krishna is the trickster. He's always the trickster. He's always playing tricks on the gopis, on the, his friends, the cowherd girls, Srimati Radharani. But his mood is always one of bringing joy. So he's the butter thief and he steals our heart. And also, one of the examples is that the Lord steals the butter and then he gives it to all the cowherd boys, and then he gives it to all the monkeys. And then when the monkeys are really full, the Lord says, well, you know, the cowherd maidens or the gopis, that your butter wasn't really that good because, look, the monkeys don't even want to eat it. So the Lord has a sense of humor. And, you know, even in one of the stories where they're all out in the forest and playing, and they come across a mango tree, and I don't know which cowherd boy it was, but he said, oh, let's have some mangoes. So they all sit and they eat mangoes. And then the Lord, then one of them has a bright idea and says, why don't we take the mangoes for the rest of the village as well? And the Lord goes, yes, that's a really great idea. But I tell you what, you've had too much lunch and too many mangoes. Have a little sleep and then we'll all get up the tree and we'll get the mangoes. But such is the Lord's loving humor and reciprocation that when the cowherd boys fall asleep, the Lord plays his flutes and all the mangoes fall down. There's a big pile left, and they wake up and they're amazed. How come there's a whole pile of mangoes waiting? But that is the Lord's affectionate humor, and that's how the Lord reciprocates. The Lord always gives more than we can even imagine or understand what the level of, you know, sometimes our desires are kind of down there, but we can ask for so much more. So comedy is essential in all relationships, dear devotees. But one has to be careful that without comedy, actually, the sacred can become pompous, it can become despotic, and it can become fanatical. So it's really important to have humor. But then what kind of humor? Because we must, there's a danger in humor. And that humor is that if it's comical in a sense that it becomes frivolous or sahajya or malicious, then it becomes troublesome. And I'll, in a little while, I'll share with you why, you know, Prabhupada warns against this. I mean, Srila Prabhupada's packed so much in the purport that I'll come back to you why the danger of humor can actually cause offense to devotees, but at the same time it can bond us as well. So Srila Prabhupada says, he quotes in a room conversation in Ohio on the 10th of May 1964, where Srila Prabhupada says, humor is practically in every direct and indirect relationship, but it's covered when we think that we don't have a relationship with the Lord. So that tells us that at a higher state of consciousness, we should be aware that the Lord is always humoring us. And it's to be aware that the devotee, the eternal devotee, always has a loving relationship. And that's why sometimes it's very hard to understand some of the more confidential aspects of Canto 10, because there is a lot of humor. So some of the questions that came up, I don't know if any questions came up for you during the reading of the translation and the purport. But one of them may be, who was Atri Muni? And why did the Lord promise to incarnate as his son, Dattatreya? Who is Dattatreya? What does he look like? Why did he incarnate? Who worshipped him? I mean, as a child growing up, we always had a photo of Lord Dattatreya in the house. And I remember often asking Mum, you know, because it's a combination of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu. And I'd often ask my Mum, you know, who's the highest of them all? And she'd always say Lord Vishnu. And we'll find out in a little bit about the desire of Dattatreya and how the Lord overgives him. So who were the Yadus and the Haihayas, and how did they become so purified that they obtained material blessings? And in the purport, why does Srila Prabhupada warn against, certainly with the Haihayas, offense at the lotus feet of a devotee? In Srila Prabhupada's purport, the questions that could come up is, why is affectionate humor so important in relationships? We've kind of covered that. And why do parents and relatives achieve all mystic opulences automatically because of their relationship with the Lord? And what pitfalls and offenses does Srila Prabhupada mean when he says vivid? Srila Prabhupada uses the word vivid example of the high hires had achieved perfection, but because of an offense to the feet of a devotee, they were killed by Parashuram. Thank you. So we've covered that transcendental relationship and humors between the Lord and his devotees are absolutely critical. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Ye yata mam prabhantante tam tathave vabhajanteham mam vartamanu vartate manushya partha sarvasya. As all surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prithu. So Atri Muni was born from Lord Brahma. He was one of the Manusha Rishis, and he was born from the mind, or actually to be exact, from the eye of Lord Brahma. And he, as a Sapta Rishi, he spent a lot of his time in prayer, and his wife Renuka, they both wished for a son like the Lord. Now, Srila Prabhupada says later on in Canto 4 that he utterly asked for a son like the Lord, but actually it was a material desire, because he didn't ask for the Lord himself to come as his son. But yet again, the Lord's humor and the Lord's reciprocation, the Lord's magnanimity, the Lord's generosity, that the Lord actually, like Prabhupada said, gave himself to Atri Muni as a father. Now, Renuka, his wife, prayed for, she didn't quite know who was the supreme, so she asked for a son like Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh, Lord Shiva. And we can see that even with the Sapta Rishis, Bhrigu Muni, he's not quite sure who's the supreme. Renuka and Atri are not quite sure who's the supreme. With Bhrigu Muni, he tests them. You know, that's one of his ways. And how to test somebody is also something that we have to be very cautious. Bhrigu Muni went and kicked Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma was not happy. He chased after him. And then Bhrigu Muni kicked Lord Shiva. He again got the wrath of Lord Shiva and ran away. So then when he comes to Lord Vishnu, he kicks him in the chest really, really hard. The Lord is actually sleeping in the ocean of milk. And yet the Lord wakes up with a smile, and despite being hurt, and Bhrigu creates a dent within the Lord's chest, that the Lord wakes up and smiles at Bhrigu and says, oh, I'm so sorry you're hurt. Please let me help you. And the Lord massages his feet. And at that point, Bhrigu understands that, that the Lord is supreme. But of course, because of his offense, Lakshmi Devi curses that all Brahmins will never be affluent or rich. So again, Renuka, she's not quite sure, you know, who's the supreme. Is it Brahma? Is it Vishnu? Is it Mahesh? So she asks for everything. You know, sometimes, you kind of hedge all your bets, you know, have a little bit and everything. I mean, people who invest do that, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit. I have a bit of everything. And so whilst the Lord is everyone's father, he's so generous that despite their limited understanding, the Lord gives himself and comes as Dattatreya. So Srila Prabhupada says in Canto 4, Chapter 1, Verse 20, Atri Muni and Anushya, Anasuya prayed for a son exactly like the Lord, therefore not entirely pure devotees. He had the desire, and it was material, because he didn't want the Supreme Lord as his son. He asked without understanding the Lord. Now, Srila Prabhupada says, had he asked for a son as a child, for the Supreme Lord as his child, he would have been completely free from material desires, and he would have wanted the complete truth. And therefore, the Lord fulfills the desire of the devotees at their level. So from that, we can understand that whilst Atri was, Srila Prabhupada says he was engaged with the Lord in the Vatsalya Bhav, his actually understanding was limited. It was more at Shantadas level because he could identify with the Lord, his forms, his pastimes, his accompaniments, not so much with the Lord, but because of the Lord's benediction and what Lord gave him, the Lord actually raised him to almost what you would say a Vatsalya level, although we all have one particular rasa or bhav that we're associated with the Lord. In a conversation with Ramananda Rai, Lord Chaitanya, they have a conversation, and Ramananda Rai replies that spontaneous loving service, in the humor of service, is that devotional service is an intimate attachment with the devotee, the servant and the servitor. So the intimacy is called mamata. And mamata begins with dasya service, rendered from the master to the servant. So here the Lord enables Atri Muni to serve him. Unless there's such a relationship, the loving affairs between the Lord and his devotees are actually not fixed. Srila Prabhupada also says that the parent, you know, why does Srila Prabhupada say that it's not fixed? Because when one's consciousness is fixed at a higher, at the highest level of platform, there's love of Godhead. And therefore, the Lord pulled Atri Muni to a high level of consciousness. So when we think about how the Lord engages, we can see that the Lord is always generous. You know, we think that we've worshipped the Lord, but sometimes even our worship, our chanting is full of faults because we've got those hidden demons within the heart. But yet the Lord, like Lord Jagannath, he always sees the good, the big, big eyes, because he only sees the good. So that tells us the character of the Lord and the magnanimity of him. So why did Srila Prabhupada say that the parents and other relatives of the Lord achieve all mystic opulence automatically because they have an intimate relationship with the Lord? But such opulence, including, they can be lost. So the high hires worship Lord Dattatreya, and the king of the high hires was King Kartavirya, Kartavirya Arjun, and he was favored by Lord Dattatreya. So he had spiritual prowess. And he also had material prowess. And the Yadus, as you know, most of you will know, that they were related to Lord Krishna. So why is it that in the translation it mentions the high hires and the Yadus? The high hires were, again, blessed and favored by Lord Dattatreya. But the king, Kartavirya Arjun, had become very egotistical. And when one is egotistic, we actually can misuse our power. So he was fixated on being successful. Even though Srila Prabhupada says he achieved almost pure devotional service, he became fixated because he wanted to steal. Does anybody know what he stole? He stole the Kamadhenu cow from Jamadagni. Now, at first he asked for the cow and Jamadagni said no. And then what he did was he then stole it. And there was a big fight, and Kartavirya Arjun killed Jamadagni. And from there, Lord Parashuram avenges his father's death. Now, we may ask this question that, as a Brahmana, why didn't Jamadagni say, just let it go? You know, I'm not attached. I'm a pure devotee. I don't need the cow. But as most people do when they're in a leadership position, as the Brahmanas are, that the cow was used, the Kamadhenu cow, the Surabhi cow, was used for worship and sacrifice. And the Brahmanas, that's what they're doing all the time for the peace of the worlds. They're using that not for themselves, but for others. So obviously Jamadagni fights for the Surabhi cow. But however, Kartavirya Arjun kills him for that. And that was the error, that he actually killed a Brahmana. So then why, we would ask, well, why did Lord Parashuram annihilate 21 dynasties? You know, it was Kartavirya who did the abominable action. He killed a Brahmin and he tried to steal the Kamadhenu cow. That would mean that all worship would be destroyed. Just like in the manor, when we think about deity worship, it has to be of the highest standard. And when it's at a very high standard, it holds the consciousness of the temple and the community. Shri Radha Gokula Nanda, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Gaur Nitai, Srila Prabhupada, Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. So this had to be fought for. And so what we're coming to now is about collective consciousness, that Parashuram annihilated the dynasties because Kartavirya Arjun, he was the leader, but because of his error and his mistakes, it would have infected the whole consciousness of the whole Kshatriya tradition. Kshatriyas are meant to be protecting the Brahmanas, and they didn't. So in order to ensure that wouldn't happen again, Lord Parashuram appears to wipe out the whole of the dynasty. So what about then the Yadus, you know, the Yadu dynasty? How did they fall down? Well, at their level of consciousness, they were related to the Lord. They were the sons of the Lord, some of them, sons, relatives. And the story happens that a couple of sons of the Lord dressed as a woman and another one, you know, as a man. And they saw the Muni Gautam and Vaishishta. And they were going to Dwarka and they thought, right, let's test these brahmanas, you know. Let's see if they're really devotees of the Lord. And this is the lesson for all of us, dear devotees, that dress based on how people dress or how they act sometimes, even avadutas act in a weird way. We must not underestimate. Sometimes we overestimate ourselves and underestimate others. So the boys actually approached these two sages. And because they were so intoxicated with power and arrogance and pride, they used humor in the wrong way. And they tested the sages by saying, you know, could you predict what this woman is going to give birth to? Is it a boy or a girl? And they were just patronizing and condescending and teasing the sages. But because the sages are connected to the Lord, they have mystical psychic abilities. And they could see that they were just really being rude in their jest. So then the sages actually cursed them and said that, you know, you'll give birth to an iron rod. Now, these boys quickly ran off to their grandfather, Suryasena, Lord Krishna's grandfather, and said, you know, what do we do? We've created a terrible offense to the devotees. Not only did the sages curse them to give birth to an iron rod, the sages cursed the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. So King Suryasena said, when you get the rod, eventually just, you know, they grated it into small iron filings, which they threw into the sea. And then there was a little bit of the iron left, and it happened that the fish had swallowed it. The filings came back onto the land, and they grew as grass. And eventually, when the fish was found and cut open, the iron that came from it was made into an arrowhead. So what happened after is that the Yadus became, whilst they were psychic, they had mystic opulences, they had material, you know, material and spiritual power. because of their offense to these two devotees, they turned on themselves. They became... What was surprising was they related to the Lord, but they couldn't understand that the Lord was the Supreme Lord. And so when we unpick that in terms of what does it mean to us, it means that if they didn't recognize the Lord as the Supreme, they were indifferent to the Lord. And because they couldn't recognize him, they were also arrogant, bitter, proud, intoxicated. And their level of advancement was stuck because of their pride. So this is a warning for all of us that even if we get to the mode of goodness, if pride comes in, it's downfall. So our consciousness is always inclined to go down, not up, unless it's the mercy of a devotee or the Supreme Lord. So what did that result in? They processed life in an inflated view of themselves and underestimated others. And as a result, their consciousness went even downward. Why? Because they turned on each other and they killed themselves. And that resulted in being vengeful, antagonistic, angry, hateful with each other. And they processed their life through aggression to the point they killed each other. So, you know, you can have so much good in your bank balance, but just one offense to a devotee can actually degrade and annihilate our spiritual advancement. So, in summary, the Lord reciprocates with his devotees in loving affection, and that we all, when we understand one day what our eternal relationship with the Lord is, that it is one of humor and love. And we hear time and time again that Lord Krishna, the Lord that we worship, is not a vengeful God, but actually he's a loving, playful God. And so he'll play with us. Some of you will know that if you're doing deity worship, that you have 2 minutes to go, and next thing you know, you think it's only 10 seconds gone by, you look at the clock, and 3 minutes have gone by. And sometimes you feel, is that the Lord playing tricks with me with time? Yeah? So the Lord reciprocates with his devotees very generously. The Lord fulfills the desires of the devotees more than what we can even ask for. We ask for at our level, and ideally devotees shouldn't be asking. But in this case, in Atri's case, the Lord gives more than what he asks for. And humor, when it's not condescending, it's not pompous, it's not dry, there's a place for humor, in other words. And we can understand that, you know, do not try to be envious of a devotee. Don't try to take something off them, something that will compromise their service. Because as you can see, in Jamadagni's case, it wasn't so much about losing his cow, the Kamadenu cow, but it was about the impact it would make on him not being able to do his worship. When Lord Krishna was leaving Vrindavan, and all the gopis were crying, and they were upset with Akura, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba were standing on the side, and they were feeling so emotional that they were going to, you know, that the love of their life was going to go. That Mother Yashoda calls out to Lord Krishna, and she goes, "Krishna," and he turns around and he says, "What, Mother?" You know, I don't know if any of you know this happens. And the mother goes, "Oh, no, it's okay, it's okay." But then she thinks, no, I must say this. I must resolve this with Krishna before he leaves. And she calls out again, "Krishna." He turns around and says, "Yes, Mother." And then he says, "Mother, what is it? What do you want to say?" And she says, "I'm so sorry, Krishna. When you were a young boy, I tied you up. I chased after you. Now remember, she's not chasing him with a whipping stick to beat him, but with a love and affection. That she, you know, she goes, "See you, naughty boy, and right, I'm going to do this to you, and you can stay there." But it was done with loving affection in the Vatsalya bow. And she said, "You know, I'm just your foster mother. You're going to go to your real mother. Will you, you know, will you forgive me for doing that to you?" And the Lord turns around and he says, "Mother, how can I hold that against you? That was our loving relationship, only because of your love that you could bind me. Nobody else could bind me." So, you know, humor and our relationship with the Lord is always one which is loving. Now, there's a benediction at the end of this this chapter, and the gift is that. Let me just. Well, I think you will read the benediction yourselves, but I can say the benediction. Bhagavad Gita, janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvaha dyaktva deham punar janma naiti mama iti so Arjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature and appearance and activities does not upon leaving this body take his birth again in this material world, but attains the supreme eternal abode. So this chapter, ladies and gentlemen, is all about the Lord and his pastimes and forms. And we've got a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to actually understand the personality of the Lord and who he is and how he lovingly reciprocates. We know that the verse, yada yada hi dharmasya granim bhavati bharata, that the Lord comes time and time again for the pleasure of his devotees, but to also annihilate the miscreants. So on that note, I'm going to stop. It's 8:25. Does anyone have any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for the class, Mataji. I like the points which you mentioned, humorous side of the Lord, which is very nice. I just had a quick question on that point. So sometimes in our dealings or between devotees, so we can have friendly humor and kind of like banter. It can be that it's a very small area between having fun or maybe unknowingly offending the other person. So how can we make sure we're not unknowingly offending the other person, but we can still keep that kind of humorous side? And
okay. So thank you, Prabhu. If I just reflect your question back to you, am I right in understanding that you're saying that even amongst devotees, sometimes we will have friendly jesting and humor amongst each other, but how can we have that so we can bond and develop loving relationships with each other without offending each other? Is that correct, Prabhu? Okay. So we often know when someone's teasing us, and we know that, you know what they call a fist in an iron fist in a velvet glove. We often know, you know, humor is sometimes used like that, that actually it's masked and it's soft, but actually there's a bit of a punch to it. We have to understand what our motive is. You know, often we can pick up when somebody is jesting at us and actually they're just having a go because it's passive aggressive. It's a passive aggressive mean. So only you will know yourself how you're using that humor. But always beware, because in this case, the boys, how they jested with the sages, it resulted in something quite devastating. And that was ancestral karma, wasn't it? That actually what we do, even as devotees, when we jest with each other, that we cause offenses, it doesn't just have an effect on our spiritual advancement, but it sometimes can have an effect on the whole community. So I think, you know, try and serve the devotees, and if there is a jest, make sure it's something in relationship to serving them, serving a devotee, rather than the superiority complex that sometimes we can use humor to disguise. Is that okay, Prabhu? Yeah. If you don't use humor, sometimes our relationships can be dry. You know, sometimes, and actually, humor is a good way to lighten things up, because otherwise, spiritual life becomes pompous, and it becomes dry.
So, if I understood correctly, thank you so much for the answer. Is that when we have a good intention, when we make a joke or something like that? That's the best we can do. We can't really control how the other person receives it, right?
Yeah. And if a devotee, you know, and we've all experienced this, if a devotee uses humor to perhaps chastise you a bit and say, oh, you know, you're really bad, or they do it publicly, just take it as goodwill and just smile, you know. Don't be oversensitive, because if we become oversensitive, the problem becomes ours. We now become egotistical, because ego isn't just about pride, but ego is sometimes where we're oversensitive, and then we make it into a bigger thing than it really is. So we shouldn't be put off by having loving relationships and humor, but equally, you know, be wary. And sometimes, you know, devotees will be oversensitive, you know, so we have to then seek forgiveness straight away, and tell them your intention.
Thank you.
Yes, Prayojana Prabhu.
Sometimes things do go wrong, not for necessarily our approach to a person, that there's anything other than humor, but also that they may react. Why they react is because something has just happened to them that's completely upset them. And then they'll bite your head off.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, because we can't see what's happened to that person. My mother would have one example, was that bullies. You know, I was bullied at school, and she would say, you know, something that was passed on by her husband actually to her, that actually, you should feel sorry for that person because they don't know any better. In other words, that the way they're treated is by bullying from their own parents. That to control them, and that they're in a very sad position. It's like a disciplic succession of bullying that carries on, isn't it?
It's a very powerful, this is very powerful when you use the word disciplic, because the great example of this in Srimad Bhagavatam is when Devala Muni is in the water and he's meditating, and the king of the Gandharvas comes along, and he's frolicking in the water with the other Gandharvas and accidentally pulls the leg of Devala Muni. And that really annoys Devala Muni, and he curses him to become a crocodile. And so the king apologizes and asks for forgiveness. But because he asks for forgiveness, then what happens is the Muni says, well, you'll be liberated at the time Gajendra's liberated. So then watch this space. The crocodile's in the water for millenniums. And who comes along? Gajendra with his wives. And they're frolicking in the water. And they're having fun. And it really annoys the crocodile, because it disturbs his peace. So what does the crocodile do? He catches Gajendra's feet. And he wants... There's the confrontation. There's the fight. But actually, the crocodile cannot remember his previous life as the king of the Gandharvas. And so when you talk about parampara, it is actually that he doesn't realize that he did the very same thing. So that's why we say, when you spot it or you experience it, For a devotee, if you're being bullied, you just say, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. There is something I must have done to deserve. But if you react, then the chances are, then you're creating a legacy, you know, life after lifetime until you resolve that. So, yes, we're very careful not to offend devotees, but if it happens to us, then as Parijana Prabhu said, you know, feel sorry for them. Here we can see that the crocodile was triggered. But at the same time when the crocodile was triggered, he was also liberated. So when things happen between devotees, know that this is something for our highest, highest benefit. And somehow or another, you know, we all want to be carried by... We all want to be held, you know, each other holding each other's hands, going back to Godhead. So we should always see these challenges as opportunities for our advancement.
Just in response to that, yes. I remember Akhokchita Prabhu, when he came here, and he said, whatever you see in a person is a reflection of yourself. He says, you spot it, you got it.
Absolutely.
And it's an amazing thing, because you can see the good, which we should try and do, in the person, rather than look at the worst side, because that's also a reflection of ourselves as well. You spot it, you got it.
And what happens is we spot it and we react.
Yeah.
But actually, the devotee takes a breath, steps back and thinks, I did that to you. I did that to you. That's why it's happening to me. I did that to you.
Yeah.
And then we say sorry in our heart and we try to serve them so we can equalize.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.